Now from the POTUS studios in Washington, D.C., it's the Morning Briefing.
We need some stories. We need some submissions. Bob Patrick is director of the Veterans History Project, the VHP, of the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress, and is joining us here on POTUS to talk about the VHP. Bob, welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Good morning, Tim. Great to be with you.
So what is the VHP?
Well, the Veterans History Project here at the Library of Congress is an effort across the nation to collect, preserve, and make accessible the wartime memories of America's veterans. So these are veterans from, well, the project goes back to veterans when they were still around from World War I, but all the way up to the veterans we have up today in our most recent conflicts. And we do this through the collection of oral histories, either audio or video, a collection of materials that are archived here at the Library of Congress to be seen by generations to come and to serve researchers and educators today.
So are you looking for direct from veterans, or are you looking from families from veterans? What exactly are you looking for? First-person accounts?
These are first-person accounts, oral histories, where a family member, a member of the community, someone they may worship with in a church, a Boy Scout, whoever, could sit down with this veteran, the veteran in their life, the veteran in their community, and record this oral history with them, either through audio or video interview, as I said, and also collect any original materials they may have. A lot of families find themselves with photographs, letters, maybe even a diary or a memoir that a veteran has kept that can also be used to be a part of this project.
So what are you going to do with it?
It's archived here at the library. We have over 98,000 collections. We've been doing this for the last 15 years, and we do make it accessible. I like to tell people we don't put it in a box and ship it off to a warehouse in Maryland somewhere. It is all accessible here through the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. And people can come in and actually see it and use it and listen to these interviews. And we've also been able to digitize a little bit over 15,000 of the collections I spoke of so that people can actually go online and see this material.
I'm sure you've heard a lot of these stories, right? And I'm just kind of wondering if there's any that sort of strike you.
Well, you know, it's 98,000. There are a lot of them that strike me. One that I often like to talk about is a veteran from Ohio, and he was a Japanese-American veteran during World War II. I think many of us are familiar with the story of the Japanese-Americans out on the West Coast who were sent off to camps. He was not. He actually was able to enlist into the Army. A gentleman's name is Kenji Ogata. He enlisted in the Army. He wanted to fly. In fact, he had some flight training, and the Army would not let him fly because of who he was. But he kept at it, passed a test, finally was allowed to go and serve on a flight crew. And it was one of the really handful of Japanese Americans during World War II that actually flew missions over the skies in Europe. He was a turret gunner, flew over 30 missions, was shot down twice. It's just this great story from World War II that you don't often hear about, and it's one we like to put a focus on. He went on to go through get the GI Bill, and he was a dentist for 40 years. So just a great life that he led.
Sort of reminds me of Dan Inouye's story, former senator from Hawaii, who had served in Europe because they didn't allow Japanese Americans to serve in theater in the Pacific, and of course he wound up winning the Silver Star, lost the use of his arm, and it was a great story despite the fact that members of his family had been interned. And that was a kind of a tragedy about the war. Bob Patrick with us, director of Veterans History Project at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. You know, I don't mean to talk too much about this, but I came across something the other day, and I'm guessing this might be what you're looking for. I have on cassette, and I haven't listened to it. I believe it's still intact. I found, cleaning out some stuff the other day, a series of interviews that I did in 1994 on the 50th anniversary of the invasion of Normandy. And there was a series of vets who came in and sat down for these interviews, a bunch of them, including one who was African-American who was serving, as you know, at the time they were serving in things like the morgue brigade and latrines and so on. But he talked about what it was like to be there. He was being shot at, bombed at, and of course, dealing with that as well as being looked upon askance by his white co-members. And there were others who, and it was just amazing to me listening to these stories about the just sort of matter-of-fact way in which they told these stories. One guy talked about how he jumped out of his glider and how he was burned like three-quarters of his body. He spent about 6 months in a hospital, and he just was, you know, yeah, that was kind of what happened. And I'm like, really? I mean, this is your recollection, and you can be so matter-of-fact about it. That's what strikes me about some of these stories.
Well, that's exactly what we're looking for in this project. It's something we call the human experience of war. We're not trying to verify dates and recreate history or, you know, prove or disprove history, but really what it was like to be there. This grassroots look of what it's like to go off to war. You know, the books kind of give the view from 50,000 feet, but this is down on the ground. And the other point about this is every story is important. It's not just the guys who are in the cockpits or in the foxholes, which I think we hear a lot about, but also the men and women who are in the medical tents or the mess hall or the motor pool. All those stories are important to kind of give us this real sense of what it was like to go off to war, be it World War II, Vietnam, Korea, or what has happened most recently in the Middle East.
Wow. Well, if people are interested, should they go online? What should they do, Bob?
Actually, yes, go online. If you do a search on Veterans History Project, our website is www.loc.gov/vets. And everything we have is on our website. The thing probably to go to is our field kit. We have what's called the VHP field kit, and it tells anyone how to do one of these interviews. There are a few forms that need to be filled out, but it talks about how to go through an interview, how to set up an interview, the kind of equipment they might want to use. We asked it to be at least a 30-minute video. But this field kit lays it all out for you, gives you some talking points with the veteran. But again, everything, as I said, is there on the website for folks to check out to do the interview, particularly this Veterans Day coming up.
Yeah, exactly. Now, a week from today, it's a Veterans Day. LOC.gov/vets, is that correct?
LOC.gov/vets, exactly.
Very good. Bob Patrick, thank you, sir.
Tim, thank you very much, and a great Veterans Day to all the veterans who are out there.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Bob Patrick. He's director of the Veterans History Project at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. Look for those stories if you have them, and if you've got somebody to interview, it's unfortunate that so many, fewer and fewer are still left from World War II. But remember, it's not just World War II. We've got veterans from the Gulf War, from the most recent encounters, and, you know, I'll talk to my son about that. He was in Iraq. So, interesting. Bob Patrick. And again, the website is now posted on our Facebook page, facebook.com/POTUSpolitics, if you'd like to get connected. And the Twitter handle is @LibraryCongress, @LibraryCongress. #LOCVets.